to Dillard and Wynn on 95.7 The Game.
That's a little more Mike Tirico on NBC for you. 888-957-9570. It's Willard and Dibs. The Niners beat the Cowboys. And my goodness, let me say this also. Thank goodness. Not just because of their season and all of that. But you're telling me I'm going into a weekend where I've got to watch Steph Curry limp off the court.
Yep.
I've got to watch the Dodgers walk off a World Series game with a walk-off grand slam.
Freddie Freeman.
I mean, that's a feel-good thing. I can even acknowledge that, even with a Dodger uniform
on. Even you?
Sure.
Whoa.
Come on, man. I'm a human being first. Freddie,
look at the big heart on Willard.
Freddie,
he's wearing blue.
I know, but we're talking about a kid. His kid has been through hell, and like, my God, I can't even imagine, right? So Freddie, on a personal standpoint, like, good for him. That's great.
Next now, stop, Cooperstown, by the way.
All the crying Dodger fans jumping up and down, playing traffic, kick rocks, all of you.
Whoa. Maybe they're friends of Freddie's family.
No, some of them are my family.
That's a good point. That hurts.
But
your phone must have blown up with the family.
No, they know. Oh, they know. No. I did get one of these. Hang on. I need to take a sip of my drink here. I got one of these after getting engaged to the lovely Christy last weekend. Of the family members, the biggest Dodger fan of them all, he texted with a really nice congratulatory text, and that was great, but then he ruined it. He stained it. And he does this all the time. He finishes every text with "Go Dodgers."
Yeah. Boy.
And I'm just
Do
like,
I know this family member?
No, okay. This is a cousin.
All right.
It's a cousin. Yeah. He's an absolute gem of a human being, except for the part that he's been poisoned by Dodger fandom.
He's from LA though, right?
Yes. Okay. Born and raised, right. And has never left there. Yes. I don't give a pass to that.
You don't?
No.
That's so funny.
You should know better than to root for awful things in life.
Even if you grow up around
it. Yeah. Okay. My kids were born down in Southern California. Who do they root for?
Well, they were given no choice.
That's correct.
Right.
You want dinner?
Totally.
Do you want dinner? Anyway. So, but you're telling me I got to watch Steph limp off the court. I got to watch a walk-off grand slam. I then got to watch the Yankees rally the next night only to be like, just kidding. We're actually going to fall down 2-0. We're barely putting up a whimper in this series. And now, here come the Cowboys with the ball in their hands, down by 6, with just under 3 minutes to go at Levi Stadium. Are you kidding me? Thank God they threw 4 incomplete passes.
Yep.
That would have been the worst weekend of all of our lives.
Tough trifecta there when he gets the ball back with 3:05 to go at his own 25, and you're thinking, oh boy, we've seen this movie before many, many times this year, and thankfully, it was 4 straight incompletes. And the first one should have been picked. Fred skied high for it. Not that it's a drop because you're on defense, but that's one where I'm sure he thinks he should have had it. And if you're Fred Warner, deep down, you're thinking about maybe making a case for DPOY, Defensive Player of the Year.
There's no question he's in the running.
But if you get that pick, and he already forced a fumble earlier in the game that they didn't recover, but it still goes down as a forced fumble, and he had a couple of massive tackles in a marquee spot, he's building himself a case. So if he gets that pick, it just adds another feather into his cap.
You want to know what I think is holding Fred Warner back right now on DPOY is that the Niner defense isn't good enough. And their record's not good enough.
And he's not a pass rusher.
Yeah, I get that. But I think he get in the mix if the Niners can get double-digit wins and if that defense can start performing like it has in the past. But right now, he's phenomenal. And Bosa is starting to, the last 3 weeks especially, Bosa's really starting to hum and play well. But beyond that, it doesn't, I should mention Lenore too, but beyond those three guys, everything else has been a little haphazard, a little tough to depend on.
Yeah, a little inconsistent. Sam Okawanu again with another good game from the interior, and got to put some respect on Devondre Campbell's name. That was by far his best game.
That was his best game.
And, you know, watching the game back again this morning, and Chris Collinsworth with the call two or three different times where he was the one at the point of attack, making tackles. He actually had a pass defense in coverage, which is something he hadn't really done much this year. So a guy who looks like he might be playing better. Hopefully it lasts. He had his best game of the year.
We'll get to the Trayvon Diggs thing here in just a second, but one of our favorites is on the line. Philmo Mike is here. Philmo, thanks for calling.
Yo, hey, what's up, man? I was just going to mention that. Chris, we need to start putting some more respect on Chris Collinsworth's name, man. He does an excellent job. All these overrated, Greg Olsen, Chris Collinsworth, they're pretty good, man. I've been watching football forever. I just love Chris. I know, and then he brought up the 81 thing. That was hilarious. He said he wanted to play Dallas Cowboys. I mean, he wanted to play the Niners instead of Dallas. I love Chris Collinsworth. The Giants, the Niners are like the Giants 2010, 2012. They're freaking torture. I'm 40. They're going to give me a heart attack. They're going to kill me, blood. I swear to God. You know, black people got diabetes and 49ers. It's crazy.
That might be the funniest thing you've ever said, Mike, and you've said some pretty funny things.
I love you, man. Hey, Dib, we're going to have to go play some golf, man. I'm always on Steiny. Steiny don't really want to play golf with me, so I'm going to have to holler at Dibs. Dibs, you always show me love. I appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know the difference between Steiny and I, Philmo, is that I'm a man of the people.
Yeah, you a real one. Real one, Dibs. You already know. And you know all the rap lyrics.
And you know what, Philmo? My partner across the table here, sneaky, sneaky literate when it comes to rap lyrics.
I noticed. He shocked me. He has some Outkast. He has some Biggie in there. Mark Willard is not as wide as I thought.
There's a drop.
Yeah, cut that. I usually get it the other way around. But anyway, Philmo, what did Steiny say to you about not wanting to play golf with you?
Oh, Steiny, he just be like, all right, we'll get, all right, come on. And then he don't never. You be hitting me back, though, really. I give you that. I hit you on Instagram.
Of course.
MT Willard.
Of course I hit you back.
Hit me back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you slide into my DMs, I'll slide back. That's the way it is. And that's me. Yeah, come on.
I love it. I love y'all, man. I tell y'all all the time, you guys definitely surprise me. You guys are definitely surprised. I thought you guys were going to suck, but you guys are great.
Again, more drops from Philmo.
Lucas, redo the open again and put that in there. That's Philmo, thank you, brother. Good to hear from you.
Yes, sir.
All right, there he goes. That's Philmo.
Boom.
I thought you guys were going to suck.
But you all right.
But you all right.
Yeah, that's, you know. It's about as good as it gets from Philmo.
That's pretty funny.
My Leo brother.
I wonder what he thinks about this. Did you hear this? This is a quick aside, if you will. Trayvon Diggs of the Dallas Cowboys. This is outside the visitor locker room at Levi Stadium last night, where he approaches a reporter who had gone on Twitter and essentially, I don't know if he really accused Diggs of loafing, but he took a shot at the pace that Diggs was playing with on the George Kittle pass that went flying down the left sideline on that opening drive in the second half. And Diggs went to go find him after the game.
Out of that whole play that you took from that, you don't know football. You can't do nothing that I do. You can't go out there and do nothing. Stay in your lane, buddy. Stop playing me, bro.
Just asking a question, Trayvon. I mean, I'm happy to have you answer the question.
Out of that whole play, that's what you took from that? That's what you got from that? That whole play, that's what you got from that?
I'm asking.
We can talk about it more. What were you doing then?
All right, so at the end, he says, we can talk about it. And Trayvon responds with the incredibly mature, we can talk about D's nuts.
Was he holding a can of mixed nuts at the time? I don't. Yeah, I'm going to need some context.
Come on, Deese. Deese nuts.
Right.
It's Dan Campbell's one of those people. It's funny if he says it, but you know what got me is when he told him to stay in his lane. Boy, we've really reached a weird spot here where you tweet something in the second half of a football game, and before the players get to the locker room, they're aware of it. Those are some real rabbit ears right there. And when he tells the reporter to stay in his lane, you want to know what I would have said back if I had been like, I mean, I probably wouldn't have because that's pretty scary. But you know what I mean? You want to know what he should have said back? This is my lane. What are you talking about? Are we not allowed to comment? Are we not allowed to say what we think about what's going on the football field? Like, you're allowed, you're emotional. I'm sure that we are incredibly annoying to the incredible athletes and everything that they do out there. But I always wonder why it doesn't click in when you make 15 to 20 to 25 to $30 million a year. The reason you make that is because of how interested we all are in what you're doing. It's not because you have a specialized skill. There are a lot of people who have a specialized skill. They don't get to make $20 million a year. But we love this stuff so much, that's your salary. So deal with the commentary. And for the media, that is their lane.
And
that's
tweet,
literally our lane.
The tweet from Mike Leslie was, "What is Trayvon Diggs doing on this play?" That's the tweet. And it shows a video of George Kittle running by him in man coverage, and Kittle gets the catch, and he goes all the way down to the two-yard line. So what is Trayvon Diggs doing on this play? It doesn't feel too negative. It is a little bit of like, you know, what is he doing? And so Trayvon could have come out and explained what he was doing, but instead he took offense at the very nature of the tweet. And yes, this is his lane, to wonder what he's doing. And maybe he's being more negative in the tweet than I'm giving him credit for, but that's, to your point, that's why it's a multi-billion dollar industry, because all of us, people with Twitter, reporters, fans, everybody is super, super interested in every single play and every aspect of the game. So it's almost a compliment that he's tweeting about
you. I mean, even 510 just texted in, Comcast business text line, "Y'all don't even know the context about the Diggs situation. He was checking his phone for updates about Stephon." His brother, who got injured yesterday. I don't care what he was doing on his phone. I don't care if he was door dashing something. Who cares? Like, that's got to be okay. I'm sorry. That's part of the game. It has to be okay. We're sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. We can get into more of that. We need to play something that Nick Bosa said yesterday. Something that Nick said. Not something that Nick showed, something that Nick said that caught my attention, that seemingly is getting no attention. Want to get to that next. Plus, we can weigh in on the performances of Shanahan, Purdy, Warner, beyond. 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibs.
Mark Willard is not as wide as I thought.
But the 49ers do not convert on fourth down.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, tell everybody what you just told me.
Well, according to ESPN, and I should do it like Jeremy Schapp, ESPN. According to their Football Power Index, the 49ers have a 45% chance to make the playoffs. As we sit right now, 39% to win the division, and, well, 1% to earn a bye, that's fine. 39% to win the division, which would tell me that they have a 6% chance of getting a wild card. And I looked a little bit deeper into their numbers, and it's a proprietary measurement based on ESPN's Football Power Index, the FPI, Mark, as you well know. And they've got the 49ers' estimated record. They project out records based on what you've done so far and the stats and all the rest of it. And they have them projected to be a 9-8 team. 8.9 and 8.0, they rounded. So basically what this metric is saying is that the Niners will be 9-8. Arizona will be 9-8. Seattle will be 8-9. And the Rams will also be 8-9.
Good Lord.
So that's what this ESPN FPI is saying. And basically, it's a kind of a coin toss situation. 9-8 is where they have them projected.
Okay, so what you're telling me right now,
yep,
is that if we just wanted to play math, and good Lord, we spent all summer,
you know, I love math,
screaming about how the math still works for the Giants.
Oh boy, that bit died.
Numbers are numbers, and numbers are numbers.
Right, unless they're my numbers, and I don't know if I want these numbers.
They're scary numbers.
I want to package them in a different way. You gave numbers. Let me give it words. The math says the Niners are less than 50-50 to make the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah.
The math says the Niners probably miss the playoffs.
No, because if you look at their division, you've got Arizona at 38.5% to make it.
Right.
Seattle is 17% to make it. The Rams are 19%. Okay, what the math is saying is it's kind of a coin flip between all four teams.
Understood.
Yeah.
But if it's 45% to make it, then there is a slight probability they won't make it. Again, according to the numbers.
Right.
I know that obviously someone has to make it, and all four of them are unlikely to make it, and the Niners are the highest probability to make it. So you can take from that, well, I think the Niners are probably going to make it. You can do that if you want. I probably would. I think the Niners will win the division. Then again, they're all locked up halfway through with these teams, two of whom they've lost to.
Yep.
And oh, by the way, those teams all have an easier schedule the rest of the way. Because the Niners have a first-place schedule, and they've got to go to Lambeau, and they got to go to Buffalo, and Detroit's going to come here, and they look like the best team in the NFC, bar none. So I want everybody to sit with that for a second. The math says the Niners probably miss the playoffs entirely. How have your expectations, or even just your hopes, your bar, how has that changed through the first half of this season?
Yeah, 888-957-9570.
And how would you answer?
My bar's been lowered. And I joked around about it after the Ram collapse or the Arizona collapse. I can't remember which one the collapse was. And I changed my Super Bowl or bust to wild card or bust. And honestly, if you look at their chances to be the wild card, they're not great because you've got Washington or Philadelphia, you've got Detroit or Green Bay or Minnesota. So of those five teams, I would bet that if all five make it, well, now you're plumb out of wild cards right there. And then you've got the whole Tampa Bay and the South situation, and then it comes down to a four-team tickle fest in the NFC West. And, you know, according to ESPN, the Niners have a 37.7% chance to win the division. Arizona's at 34. The Rams are at 16. Seattle's at 13. So it feels like, based on these numbers, it's Niners or Carolina. I'm sorry, Arizona. Niners or the Cardinals are the two big favorites to win the division. And then the Rams and Seattle are lurking. But you've got, like, Washington looks, like you said, like an 11-win team.
Yep.
They're projected at 11.1. Philadelphia is the same, 11.1 wins. So if they both go 11-6, they're both getting in. Detroit is estimated to be 12.5 and 4.5, so give them 13.
They're going. Detroit's going.
Minnesota's projected to have 10.5, so if they get 11, they're going. Green Bay's projected to have 11, they're going. So if you go Green Bay, Minnesota, and Detroit, Philadelphia, and Washington, there's five of your seven.
Yeah, that leaves the two division winners in the other
exactly.
two divisions. That's
so
it. Yeah.
It feels to me like this is where the Niners are. So in terms of recalibrating where we were 9 weeks ago when, all right, Ayuk is signed and he's coming in and Trent's coming back and, you know, McCaffrey, I can't wait to see him tonight on opening night. We were down there at the Hilton getting ready for CMC and the opener. If we take those feelings and emotions then, and I was saying, yeah, I have them at 12-5 this year. 12-5, and they got a chance to be the one seed. And here we are going into the bye at 4-4 with no CMC, no sign of Greenlaw. Hufanga is out again. Ayuk gone for the year. Jordan Mason banged up. Who is that? All the other things that we've seen, two blown leads, a near-blown lead last night. You're 4-4. It feels to me like the bar that we set that was super, super high and all of the dismissive nature of, oh, Super Bowl hangover, get out of here with that. Well, here we are 8 games
well,
in.
Well, that's an interesting one.
Oh, you're 4-4.
Right. So, okay, is it a Super Bowl hangover? First, you need to define what that is.
I don't believe in it.
Okay,
so.
But it depends on how what you define it to be. In other words, I do know some people who have said the Super Bowl hangover is not just like this bad luck thing, especially for a team like the 49ers that has had so much regular season success. Like, I've heard many argue, and I kind of agree with this. The Niners are, this is going to sound so snooty, the Niners are a little bored with the regular season.
Do you have to be a homer?
I mean, they are until they're not.
They are. They're the.
Well, when you get to 3-5, you're not bored with the regular season.
No, for sure. And again, I'm not calling. This is not a compliment. This is not a compliment. But when you have so much success over and over and over again at a certain point in the season, I think it's very easy as a human being to suddenly think to yourself, well, we don't really need to worry about this part. And in the NFL or any professional sport, you can't do that. The other athletes are really good too. And if you just slip a tiny bit, it leads to things like what you saw against the Cardinals and the Rams. I'm not going to put that on the Vikings and the Chiefs game. The Niners were outplayed in those football games. But when you relax, and it seems like this team not only did that to begin the regular season, they do it within games. Let's be real. This team gets a double-digit lead, and they light a cigar. And sometimes it's the third quarter. And it has led to them doing very uncharacteristic, awful things in the fourth quarter. Now, blend that in with what is also a factor, which is, like many teams, they are dealing with some very significant injuries. And that has to change your expectations, I would think. I mean, in the end, the way that I would really look at it, and I tried to make this point, but it's not really a human point. There's no way to make people not be human beings, and I get it. We're excited in August, and we want to talk about the possibilities. Super Bowl, LFG, let's do it, blah, 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 woo, we're going all the way. It's absurd. It's absurd to talk about the Super Bowl in August. It always has been. It always will be. You have no idea what the story of the season will be. So it's like I can sit here and do both of these at the exact same time. Okay, you're at the halfway mark. How does 4-4 feel? Well, awful. Awful. If I compare it to how I felt in August. But ask me how it feels compared to how I felt last Wednesday.
Exactly.
Now it feels great. It feels great because we understand the story and we understand the context. And it doesn't make it any less frustrating, but now all of a sudden we're thrilled that last night the 49ers gave their fan base a good shot at a division title, which 2 months ago we thought was the biggest foregone conclusion in the history of the world. So it's kind of an interesting exercise. Like, we're about at the halfway point. We've reached the bye. Do you feel good or bad?
Yeah, about where you've been and where it's going. I feel good about it. I feel good because of the pieces they're going to get back and the success that Kyle Shanahan has had almost every year after Halloween, which I checked the notes, is coming up on Thursday. So after Halloween, his teams are really good. His record is really good. You're getting healthier, and you're in a division that is ripe for the taking. No one in this division is going to run away with it. Like, Detroit is kind of maybe not running away with their division, but they look really, really good. And Washington looks to be real. Philadelphia is better than probably we thought, and they have withstood injuries, and they're starting to round into form. And so there are things in other divisions that are maybe scary, but you don't have to face that until January if you get there. I look at the NFC West, and I think that 10 wins is enough to get it done. 9-8 might actually be enough to get it done.
Maybe.
And you've got, you know, three more divisional games, and you've got some payback games against the Rams, which will be at home. You go, Seattle's going to be at home. And I think that if you handle your business in those games, and then you split the other, what, nine games? The other six. You got three six. Divisional.
Yeah.
So if you go 6-3.
That would make you 10-7.
That's enough. If you win your three divisional and then you split the other six, you win the division.
Well, the thing is, and Grandy, what do you got? What do you got? What do you got?
Well, you're talking about maybe the Niners appearing like they're a little bored by the regular season.
Well, yeah, okay.
How about this? In their first eight games, they have played three primetime games. They've won all of those. In all their other games, they're 1-4. Their only win is over the Patriots.
That's an interesting way to look at it. It's an interesting way to look at it.
And, so they and again, only care about the national audience being here.
This will help.
We
this'll
don't
help.
Get up for just garden variety games.
I know what my reputation is. This will help. This point that I'm saying I've heard others say has been said to me repeatedly every week Sunday night by my partner Ephraim Salam, 13 years in the league. And that's his take. That's one of his takes. He's like, you guys don't, you don't. And he's unemotional. He's not a 49er fan, not a 49er hater. He worked with Kyle Shanahan in Houston when he played there. He thinks Kyle's awesome. And he's like, this is why it's hard for them. They keep winning all regular season long. And then, even worse than their regular season success, when they've had crap first halves, what's happened? Nothing. That's not a problem either. And he's like, it's not an excuse. It's just a challenge. It's a challenge that exists within the framework of the DNA of the 49ers, which is that they do this every year. They show up for the regular season, and come hell or high water, even if you run out of the back of the end zone,
yep,
you're still going to find yourself in the big games in January. And that makes it a little bit harder for them than some of the other teams to really think that there's a threat going on in the regular season.
It's a little bit of the Draymond syndrome, yeah, when he talks about, I can't get up for Orlando on a Wednesday January.
Shaq used to talk about this.
Yep.
He used to talk about this in the Laker locker room all the time. We'll make them when they matter.
Yeah.
Blah, blah. Like, he used to do that. We'll flip the switch. And it would get frustrating for fans because at a certain point, they do all the things we do. God dang it, I'm paying what for tickets to go see you and you won't flip the switch. I don't care that it's only December, Shaq. Play hard. And then, right?
And then they would flip the switch.
And so I'm not telling you right now that the Niners are Super Bowl favorites. They're not.
Yeah, they're not.
They're most definitely not. And I have concerns about all kinds of things that I see out there. But the truth of the matter is the Super Bowl or bust person in August was talking out of their wahoo. We had no idea what the hell we were even looking at. When you said that, whoever I'm talking about, this is a mythical person.
It's me.
Well, no, it was everybody.
Sure.
But when you said that, you had no idea that Jordan Mason was your leading rusher.
Right.
You had no idea that Brandon Ayuk had a torn ACL. You had no idea that you would blow two games that you had no business blowing. You had no idea but that Javon Hargrave, all of that. And so those aren't excuses, but it's interesting to get to today and sort of re-ask you, are you happy or are you mad at where the 49ers sit? Because I would argue when you understand the journey and the story of what got us here, you should probably wake up today feeling pretty good.
Right.
But if I had offered this to any of you in August, you all would have tossed it in the trash. This sounds awful.
Right. You should be better than 4-4.
For sure you should.
And you know, I think about last year where they started 5-0, and after five games, their point differential was plus 100. They went 30-30-30, 35-42. Nobody scored in the defense. You were 5-0, and it was, yeah, Super Bowl or bust, because yep, we are the best team in football. And this year hasn't been that. And you just had me thinking about going to a casino, and you walk in with $1,000. Okay. I got $1,000 to gamble.
I like it.
And after about 2.5 hours, you're down 700.
Oof.
And you're thinking, oh, God. What should we do? Should we punt the season? Should we think about draft picks, whatever? And you got your last 300, and then all of a sudden now you're only down 500, and then you're only down 300, and you scratch and claw, and now you somehow find your way back, and you're dead even. You got your 1,000 back, and it feels like, whoa, yeah, I feel like I just won. But in actuality, you're just even. And that's kind of what this Niner season's felt like, where, you know, You gave a couple away. You know, you doubled down. You had an 11 delta, and the dealer had a 6, and you doubled down, and you got a 2, and then the dealer pulled a 5, and the dealer got 21, and you got 13. It's like, oh, my God, how did I not just win that hand? And, you know, you had to scratch and claw to get to where you are, and now your first night in Vegas is over, and you check your wallet, and it's like, I got my $1,000 back.
I love your analogy.
I can't wait to get back in there tomorrow.
And obviously the exact opposite runs as well. I show up with $1,000, and in the first half hour, I win 500 more.
Yep.
And I'm like, let's go tonight. We're going to start. Now we're playing with house money.
We're having steak.
Let's go. Hey, couple drinks for me and my friends.
Yep.
And you're rolling. And an hour later, you're back down to 1,000.
Yeah.
How do you feel? You feel like crap, but you didn't lose a damn thing.
Right. You're even. Right? You're back even.
So,
yeah.
Like, that's that. And that's the yin yang right now of this 49er first half. Like, it just feels like the engine hasn't even started yet. But by the same token, there are ways to look at this where you're like, thank goodness they're 4-4. Sure, they should be 6-2. Sure, they never even should have had this issue with certain games and all of that. But we do the shoulda, coulda, woulda sort of based on what we thought at the beginning. But even the person who hates excuses the most has to admit, this is not who you thought the Niners were. You didn't run around peacocking in the parking lot back in the second week of September because you thought Jordan Mason, Ricky Pearsall, and Sam Okwuonu were going to be playing
Dominic Pooney
key roles. This is not who you thought was going to play this year.
Yeah, Cowing and Renardo Green and Malik Mustafa.
That's not what you thought this was going to be.
Right.
So, do you suspend your expectations or not? Or do you try really hard to do something that fans and humans just don't do? Which is toss your expectations into the bucket and kick them out with the trash before the year even starts anyway. That's really hard to do.
You don't do that as a fan. You can't do that.
No, that's
no fun.
And I think
about Grandy and his beloved Arsenal Football Club in the English Premier League, and they're always really good, so you always go into the year expecting or hoping that this is the year that they win the Premier League, even though Man City spends more and they're usually better. You still go in with that level of expectation, and inevitably his heart gets broken, but...
We got a lot of injuries right now. Okay?
Yeah, a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
See, but did you see the difference with the two words you just used? That's so key.
What, heartbreaking?
No.
Gut
you
punch?
Said you go
makes
in every,
me happy.
You go in every year expecting to win or hoping. Oh, hold stop. Those are two totally different emotions.
They are, but when you're Arsenal and Grandy, it's more hope than expectation. When you're a Niner fan, it's more expectation than hope
because
you got this unbelievable roster and that laminated play sheet.
But it's football, and Steve Young sat in front of us in person.
It was great.
And he was like...
That's singing.
You did say that.
Yeah.
And he also was like, you guys... They blew it.
Last year was the year.
And, yep. and I didn't take it right away like this, but I should have. He didn't mean because they're the best team, because he probably still thinks they're the best team. But what happened last year that hasn't happened this year?
They were healthy.
My God, yeah. They were so lucky last
year.
They were so lucky until, of course, suddenly in the middle of the Super Bowl, one of their very key players simply trying to run onto the field blew his leg up. And then you get a taste for what it feels like to try to do stuff without your key people. So I'm not sitting here telling you that there aren't probably 12 teams that could cry this same song, including one of them who's undefeated. So I get it. I get it. But I do think that brings us to a spot where you look at these first eight games and recalibrate the whole deal. And do you feel ticked off because they aren't what you thought they were in August? Or do you wake up today feeling great? Because, my God, they're not 3-5, and they beat the stupid-ass Star.
Yeah.
And that's good enough for me.
That's always good enough. And today should be about that on a Victory Monday. But I'd love to hear from people at 888-957-9570 because the glass literally is either half full or half empty. We know that there's a 16-ounce glass and there's 8 ounces of water in there. It's just a question of how you look at that glass.
But is there a little pinhole in the bottom of it? Like it's half full, but it's leaking.
It might be. Oh, he's leaking.
Or is a 10-pound piece of duct tape about to show up in 13 days and activate the hell out of this team? The offensive player of the year. On the Madden cover.
Yeah, there's that.
Well.
And I love you, John, and it was great to be at your compound, but why? Why McCaffrey on the cover?
Seriously. Why?
Totally care. Little Nancy Kerrigan.
Why?
Don't steal my bit.
I know, that's my bad. If there was a way for me to pass you a little note, I'd have done it. I'd be like, yeah, do it right now. We're presented by Fremont Bank. celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Hey, Joe. Hey, Richie. We're coming to you next. 888-957-9570. And my apologies. I want to play this so fast because I said that Bosa said something yesterday. Just listen to this real quick. He's talking about D'Amato Lenore.
What can you say about his ascension?
He's unbelievable. He's a bit of an airhead. He has just gotten so much better. He's one of my favorite players that I've ever played with.
All right, now you can pull it down. I don't care about the rest of it. It's just complimenting D'Amato Lenore. How did that hit you? He just called him an airhead.
I want some context. Does that mean that he's like so forgetful that he gets burned and he forgets about it instantly? That's a good thing.
Like, my eyebrows went up. I'm like, and I'll be fair. Demo literally tweeted at the clip of that and was like, "Love you, brother." So like, I'm not trying to cause any bad blood, nor could I. But I was like, oh, that felt weird.
Yeah,
you just called me an airhead.
I don't know the context.
The context was him.
Right.
And all they were doing was asking him about Demo Lenore.
He's kind of an airhead.
All right. Okay, Fremont Bank celebrating 60 years, full service banking, no compromises. Your phone call's next on Willard and Dibbs.
Started under center, walked back to shotgun, and throw.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Captain Obvious has arrived. I'd like to say this out loud.
Do it.
Yo, Niner fans, you got yourself one hell of a tight end. My God.
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer. And you know what? We want to go to the phones. I just want to get this off my chest for about 20 seconds because I've dealt with this for the last 3 years on social media. There's always some Kelce fan out there who's like, that's ridiculous that you think Kittle is the best tight end in football. Do you know what? Eat it. You've been wrong for 3 years, and you still are, and only now you're seeing it because his fantasy numbers are down. So now suddenly you're able to see that all along, George Kittle has been the all-around best tight end in this game. Travis has been the best receiving tight end in this game. But George Kittle is the best tight end in this game. And he still is, by the way. So happy National Tight Ends Day.
Yeah.
That was started by George. It was finished by George. That is the face of the position in the NFL.
Those tight ends had a day now.
Across
the board, they all.
It felt like people were messing with us. I'm like, are you only throwing to the tight ends to celebrate or something?
Pretty funny. I have Trey McBride on my fantasy team, and he was just, you know, catch-a.
Dude.
Laporta and
Kate Otten.
Otten. Kelce got a piece.
Kelce had a
big
game.
Finally got in the end zone.
Kittle had a big game.
Yep.
Dude, the Lions were using Laporta, and then their other dude scored. That's what I noticed. I'm like, backup tight ends are scoring. And then lovely Christy was sitting there at one point. She's like, everybody's tight end has scored except for mine. And where's Evan Engram? 2 minutes later, boom, touchdown.
Nice.
I'm like, dude, everybody was amazing yesterday. But the Niners have the best tight end in the game.
Looking at the Pro Football Focus numbers for tight ends this year, where do you think George Kittle ranks on overall tight ends?
Overall tight end, this is PFF?
PFF numbers.
Oh.
And there
I never know how those work.
That's pass catching, it's blocking, run blocking, it's pass blocking. It's all categories of all things that a tight end can do.
Let me just scan.
I'll give you a clue. It's not Travis Kelce.
No, I know it's not Travis Kelce.
He's number 15, tied with A.J. Barner.
Are you asking me who's number one or where George sits?
Where George sits.
Where George sits. Let me just scan. Scanning. Zach Ertz has had a good year. Scanning. Oh, Kyle Pitts has been kind of fun, finally. I'll put him at number one.
Number one.
Yeah. Yeah,
number one.
Yeah. A couple other guys doing some really cool things. Brock Bowers has been
number
a nice,
two.
Yeah, nice pickup
number
for the
two.
Raiders.
Trey number McBride, two. Number three,
Trey
and
McBride,
then it's Mark Andrews
three.
And Dalton Kincaid.
Okay,
as your top five.
Yeah. I say this without hesitation whatsoever. That's the best tight end in the game. And he has been for a long time. He just, Kelsey's just the number one receiving tight end. But George Kittle affects the game unlike any tight end in football. And at this time where the Niners receivers have been a revolving health door, my goodness, George, thank God for George Kittle. He has been one of the only stabilizing forces on this 49er offense all year.
Yeah, and he did it straight out of the locker room, that Mike Tirico call right there, 43-yard catch and run. Just a simple little slant, comes off the line, one move, boop, the quick throw, and a lot of yak, and he gets all the way down to the 3 or 4 yard line. And I want to credit Kyle Shanahan before we go to the phones for listening to the show. Because all last week, what did I say, Mark? Quick throws, screens, get the ball to Debo right away.
Get the ball out of his hand.
And he did a ton of that yesterday where a lot of Brock Purdy just get the ball and boom to Debo, quick throws to George and the rest of it.
Then again, there's a reason why they did a lot of that stuff also, which is it worked, which is because the Cowboys' defensive line offered very little.
Yep.
And the Niners' offensive line, give them credit too, they did a good job. You can only block the people in front of you, and they did, except for the one that Isaac Garendo missed.
Really quick, you guys want some stats to back up George Kittle's greatness?
Oh, yeah.
I know they shared a couple of these on the broadcast last night, but George Kittle had his 500th career reception last night. He is the fourth fastest tight end in terms of number of games to get to 500 career receptions. He's now the fifth ever Niners player to have 500 receptions as a Niner behind Jerry Rice, T.O., Roger Craig, and Dwight Clark. He has the third most receiving yards in franchise history behind Jerry Rice and T.O. as well.
Passed Dwight Clark, right?
Passed Dwight Clark last
correct.
Night.
Yeah.
And he has the third most games with 100 or more receiving yards in franchise history, and of course the most among tight ends because also behind Jerry Rice and T.O. there as well.
Well, those are beautiful, and they're all receiving stats, which don't even bring in what the other part of what I'm talking about, which is that he is so good at all the other things that a tight end is supposed to be good at. Travis Kelce is an amazing receiver out of the tight end position. He can't hold a candle to what George Kittle does as a blocker and the rest of what you do in framework with the offensive line.
Kittle now 9 catches away from tying Christian McCaffrey. So he's about to go right by his teammate with 10 more catches on the all-time catch list.
Wow. Wow. Well, except for Christian might show up and start catching more balls, too.
He might.
He might. All right, let's go to Joe in San Jose. What up, Joe?
Thank you guys for taking my call. Yeah, about the 49ers, I feel good about their chances. They're a well-coached team. I can say that much. And all the games that they were in those games, and they could have won easily those. I wouldn't say easily, but they had a shot to win those games. But let me ask you guys a question. If you compare the Niners to the Warriors, which team has a better shot going far in the playoffs or making the playoffs? And do you agree that the Niners are a better coach team than the Warriors? Because the Warriors had 18 turnovers last night. Thank you.
Well, okay, that's interesting, Joe. So wait, the way he phrased it, which team has a better chance to make the playoffs.
Or go further in the playoffs, I think.
Is that what he said? Because
I
think the Warriors definitely have a better chance to make the playoffs than the 49ers. But I'd argue the 49ers have a better chance to go further in the playoffs, assuming they make them. Like, in other words, the Niners, I think, there's a reasonable thought that they get healthy, get right, and actually do have still championship aspirations. I think the Warriors, as constructed right now, are a very good team. I think it's a playoff team. Are they a true championship contender? Probably not. Probably not. So them moving through the playoffs into the Western Conference Finals or whatever, I find that to be less likely than the Niners doing it.
Agreed. I just am wondering about the idea of the playoff odds for the Golden State Warriors. You know, if the over-under for their wins is sitting at 43.5, that would indicate that the odds would say 44 wins is the most likely, which for me would put you into a play-in tournament at 44 wins, most likely.
Probably.
And, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 seed goes into the play-in. So if you go into the play-in, let's say you get 44 wins and you're the 8 seed, well, you need to win one game, 50-50 proposition to make the playoffs. So it feels to me like the Warriors are about a 50-50 playoff proposition. And as earlier indicated from the ESPN Football Power Index, they're at 45%. So those two are actually...
Could call it similar.
Yeah, Joe may be onto something.
Maybe. Although he called the Niners a very well-coached team and said the Warriors were not. And then he cited one game where the Warriors turned the ball over 18 times. And I would just say, look, I think both of them are very well-coached teams. And players also have undisciplined games. Like, if you're going to say the Warriors turned it over 18 times, well, the Niners committed like 27 holding penalties in the first half.
It was 21 turnovers last night, by the way.
Okay, thank you. 21. Yeah.
And if you commit 21 turnovers, how much of that is on coaching? I look at one game, and is he the one telling Jonathan Kuminga, yeah, go ahead and throw that one-arm cross-court pass here? That's a good idea, Jonathan. I've coached you to do that. I don't think that you can look at a one-game failure from a turnover standpoint and put that on the coach.
Agreed.
Now, if it's a longer scope where the team struggles and they're doing these things and these things are not being corrected, then yeah, maybe we can then point fingers toward the bench.
I mean, in general, this is not just the Niners. This is all teams. In general, when I see like a coaching problem, it's usually not in the area we tend to think. So even, for example, and I think Kyle deserves some criticism for this because he's in charge, so that's kind of the way it works. But when you see them consistently make undisciplined plays, there have been too many penalties this year, for example. When they're undisciplined, in general, that's more on the player than the coach. Because no coach is out there being like, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to hold them and then just hope that you don't get caught. Nobody's doing that. Now, is he stressing enough the way that they're going about it? Maybe, maybe not. But I think you can see with a football team when there's sort of a quote-unquote coaching problem, and it doesn't usually just mean play calling and penalties. You can see when someone is over their skis, the locker room is all over the place. Like, I'll give you an example, and I know people will hate this, but right now the Raiders are poorly coached. That's not a shot at Antonio Pierce. He's just not ready.
Well, it's a shot at him.
But he's not ready. Like,
well,
he got,
shoot your shot. It's all you got, but it's a shot that you should take.
He got thrown in. This happens in sports.
Yes.
Someone gets thrown in an interim situation. There's a momentary emotional, like, ooh, that looked better.
It's a dead cat bounce.
And then here we go. Now we're going to hire this guy for a four-year contract. It's like, no, hang on a sec. That was just a fun 3 weeks, right? Don't get married because you met someone last night. Just hold on a second. And vet this process,
yeah,
and see what you think when you actually get the real information. Because Pierce immediately looked over his skis, and I think Davante Adams saw it, and he's like, get me the hell out of here. And now the whole thing is wobbly, and it's not all his fault. They didn't get a quarterback, blah, blah, blah. But I'm not looking at the Warriors or the 49ers or the Chiefs or even the Rams. Like, teams like that where I'm like, that coach has already shown us that they're a good coach. I don't need more evidence that they're a well-coached team. They're not going to look good every time because people screw up. But those are well-coached football teams. You can see it when someone's not.
Right.
The Jags look like not a well-coached football team right now.
Well, and we can kick it even further upstairs where you have an organization that traditionally has been dysfunctional, and the leadership that they have in place, going down to the head coach that they have in place, it usually doesn't work because it's rotten from the head on down. And that's where you look at a lot of organizations that tend to make the same sorts of mistakes over and over and over again. And the Raiders are a good example of that, where the owner is not a very good and savvy owner, and the people he puts in place are either not qualified or not supported or both.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.